G'day, Poggers, and welcome to another episode of The Pog State, a very special one. As we just concluded the regular season, we are preparing for playoffs. That is why we are in the LOL Park Arena. I'm Atlas. I'm thankfully joined once again, as per usual, by Valdez, Chronicler, and Wolf. And unfortunately for people called Atlas, we have predictions that we did at the beginning of the season. We also we got to adjust these predictions as well at the end of round one. If there was anything that we could do to make our predictions work a little bit better by moving two teams, we get to switch places for two teams to save our predictions. We could do that.
And luckily, even though I wasn't able to make that episode where you guys did that, no one told me, Lar made the right choice for me. So, you know what? I'm just going to give her a shout out for making the right call.
And thanks, so, we have all of the results. They are in. We haven't tabulated them ourselves, but I have the envelopes of doom. There is a happy face on this first place one. And how do we do this?
You're supposed to open it up and you distribute.
Wait, there's 2 seconds?
There's 2 seconds? We got a tie for second? That's actually...
All right, let's go winner to loser.
I think we do the first two first. No, the 2 second places.
The 2 second places?
Yeah.
Okay.
But then we know it's going to be Max when he's not in the first two.
I mean, we already know it's Max anyway, right?
I don't know.
Do it in order. Just do first to fourth.
Let's just do first to fourth.
No. Let's do the 2 seconds. I'm with Mal on this.
You guys are weird.
You guys are crazy.
Like, okay. some people count up, some people count down. Some people start from the middle, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, when you eat a pizza, you start with, like,
I play hide and seek with you.
Both of these seconds have a little happy face on them.
I want you to see the
fourth place.
Sad face.
Ooh.
That's everything. The Comic Sans one. I've lived it.
It's Comic Sans.
First, second, and second, all happy faces, and the fourth one,
the
not
Max
so happy.
One.
All right, I'm gonna bring out.
I don't know if it's Max. It could be me.
It's Max.
The first second placer, the first one to get second place,
I'm not first, Rooney.
Yes. There you go, Valdez.
I'm not last.
You get your very...
It's in cursive.
Look at that cursive font.
But it's not perfectly centered. It's a little bit high
on
the page.
Thank you,
Charlie, my cat, for
being really fluffy and cute.
What about Bobby?
What about Bobby?
Bobby is also really fluffy and cute.
All right. And the second place, the one who gets to congratulate their pet in order of ownership, is Cronny Wonny.
That's perfect second place with Val the Rooney.
And then I need to say a couple of words.
My pet Chicken. You know, even though she's in the Netherlands,
and
I miss her
a lot. Cat.
Also a cat. Yeah, her name's Kip, which means chicken. Miss her a lot. I hope she's doing well. Thank you for second place.
And now we'll do first place. And we will award the greatest predictor at the beginning of the summer season for the LCK.
The rags to riches. The comeback of the century.
Look at Wolf's name not in Comic Sans.
Wow.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yay. Greatest comeback in the history of 2023 summer standings predictions. I just want to thank everyone who supported me, everyone who stuck with me, even after I got completely obliterated last time by putting Kwangdong in like fourth place or whatever.
Ooh,
I did.
Not the Kwangdong curse!
Common theme!
Well,
Pogs, if you ever end up doing it, you know, just careful.
Let's unveil.
So who got fourth?
Let's unveil.
Who could it have been?
Dun, dun, oh.
Altus!
Altus, the fourth place Comic Sans. So who is to blame for this besides yourself?
No, it's just me. It's Scrimbucks. I can blame Scrimbucks for it as well.
Never buy anything with the Scrimbucks, man.
It's you know, maybe, you know, some thinking that perhaps KT were going to fall off the wagon, that they did not fall off. Quite a few disasters did happen. So for those who... Okay, I'm just knocking things over now. This is how distraught I am because of my fourth place and my Comic Sans.
Don't
I folded
Velvet.
It back.
It's my fault.
I, I folded it back up. I should live this life, shouldn't I?
You should. Yeah. Maybe wear it for the rest of the episode so everyone can see. We have the perfect middle of the Packers. Then we have Big Winner Wolf with the comeback. And then we have Comic Saltus.
Yeah, Comic Saltus. Salty. Yeah.
Us.
Yeah, salty us.
I love start of the season predictions. They're so much more fun than the regular predictions because there's no take back. There's one little take back, but no real take backs.
Man, I got it so wrong.
Looking at what is the kind of the shock for everyone? It's just Kwangdong, right?
No, I wasn't too shocked by that, actually.
No, you were.
No.
You did.
Yeah, no. I saw that. Valdez knew the Kwangdong situation. Yeah.
Honestly, the weird thing is for me, we all put Bro at 10th because they had an abysmal first week. Like, we were like, oh, this is bad. But actually, like, because most of their season, they just couldn't cross the finish line, but were really good. I'm like, wow, yeah, we did almost all of us put Bro in 10th. Like, that's quite surprising when you consider like how they bounce back and then beat Genji in the last week. Like, it feels, I guess I understand why we did it, but I kind of forgot that we did that. So that's kind of a weird one to look at in the end of my mind.
I think any of the bottom teams is that it's still so close. Like, it literally came down to the final game. So I think them being kind of all over the place does make sense.
I'm kind of thinking like, if the G-Riz hadn't have been subbed in, my
it
humble life prediction would
together.
Have been fine. Yeah. My humble life prediction would have been fine. But unfortunately for me, the G-Riz came in, turned their whole season around, made it absolutely incredible.
Man, what
moved
a
them
gamer.
To third place.
And made the league better for it.
Yeah.
He did.
Honestly, just like and upgrading everything in every way.
Also averaging the amount of weight that is, you know, possibly lifted. Averaged, like, shut up. Just by him existing
true.
In the league.
Yeah.
All right, so that is predictions out of the way. Altus and Comic Sans will remain here for the remainder of the episode just to taunt me and make me very upset. The fact that it's a bit jankily placed here as well, I think only adds to the vibe that we have here. But there are playoffs that are going to be occurring in a couple of days' time for us. We're, in fact, heading straight into Challenger playoffs. Tomorrow for us, you guys are going to be getting this probably just before the playoffs do kick off. The Challenger playoffs are going to be happening on Monday as well. Hopefully you caught that because that is going to be also hype. But we now have a whiteboard that has been prepared with the bracket. And we can utilize some of our pretty subpar prediction skills to try and have a look at exact...
We are terrible. Speak for yourself.
Yeah. We should... There's probably a website that we can go to consult on what the best predictions are going to be, but we're not going to do that because we're terrible at our jobs. What we're going to do instead is grab a whiteboard and try and suss out where we think the playoffs is going to go.
Going to summon the whiteboard?
3, 2, 1.
Oh, I didn't do it. Wait, hold on. Sorry.
Wait, okay.
3, 2, 1. All right, and here it is. We found the whiteboard. We got it out of thin air, as we generally do. And now we have to allocate someone to do the writing in. It is going to be the gentleman with the Sharpie. I hope that's not a Sharpie. That is actually a whiteboard marker. Absolutely fantastic. Got to check to see whether it's permanent or not, because these things could be moving around. First, the first cab off the rack.
It's like when you do the makeup. You know,
yeah, but your finger's recovering.
No, it's fine. I can see.
Really glad that we got that in there. Okay. First off, we have to assume who these teams are going to choose, because that actually hasn't been locked in just yet. I believe the cutoff is about 9:30 p.m. this evening. We will probably get word during this episode as to exactly who is going to be chosen by which team. Humble Life Esports has a choice between DRX and T1. So therefore, they're probably going to choose DRX, unless Kingen and Zekka understand the barrel buff. Because, of course, he won them Worlds. And so, therefore, they don't want to get hit by the freight train.
So
he doesn't need to win the playoffs.
So the argument would be that if you don't pick DRX, I actually think the reasoning would be that you want to try and take out T1, right? Like, that's, like, the only logic that would make sense, which I don't think teams ever do.
No.
No.
That's just dumb.
But
just
I
pick the weaker team.
But I could see, like, a world in which T1 level up throughout the course of playoffs, and so, like... cutting them off early, you know, could be a way to stop them if you're afraid of them. But I think you've got bigger problems than T1 if you're trying to win the whole thing. You got to deal with KT and or Genji for the rest of the run. T1 bounced back in a big way against weaker opponents, obviously, in the final week. Liv Sandbox, who lost to a Challengers team today. Who was their other opponent? Was it DRX?
It was Kwon Dong.
That's right, yeah.
And so Kwon Dong also with... they broke a record, though, because, you know, it hadn't been since Solo 1 Prince that a team had gone completely lossless, completely winless in a round robin.
It's been 3 years.
Yay.
They won 2 games, at least.
2-18.
Yeah, 2-18. So... I think T1 has the potential, though, even though those good looks for them were, like, Faker, like, memeing and playing Xerath and, like, laughing when, like, Jax is running at him. But I still think that they're probably the stronger team at their best. And why would you assume a team is not going to show up at their best?
Yeah. No, I agree. I think that
I think we all agree.
Just don't risk it. Don't tempt fate.
Or tempt
and play him instead. Yeah. I'm going to lock
remember
it in.
Tempt? Yeah. Remember Tempt? Anyone remember Tempt?
Oh, I remember Tempt. Do you remember always being hyped about Tempt being good, and then he was never good ever? It was really
There's
sad.
There's a few other Some recent moments. Players like that, but I don't know.
So that leads us into the discussion. Who do we think is going to win? And I think
the Hama Life one is very...
Yeah.
The other one...
We need a lot of...
I think if we were doing predictions for the World's Gauntlet, but that's where DRX just runs the whole thing.
Yes.
But they want to take a bit of a break, so, I think, before that. So they'll probably drop out at the beginning of this.
Yeah, they're like, even with, you know, the fact that we meme around a lot and they looked great in their recent weeks, Crocodile has kind of looked up. That was against very different opposition than Zekka.
Yeah.
And the
Do we think it's like a clear 3-0? For Hama Life Esports, or do we think that it's going to be a bit of a closer
series? I think a 3-1 makes sense. I think one game, because I actually think DRX's drafting has been pretty good, and I could see them like pull off like one of the Nocturne drafts that I think they've been pretty decent with, but I never see them winning the series.
Yeah, I agree. I think Paddock has also had just random pop-off performances when he plays like Sari, for example. So I think...
Zaya.
Like he just suddenly plays really well, and I think that's why they probably pulled him up over Duckdom, just based on scrim results. So
higher highs.
Hanwha Life also not the cleanest team either. Like, they're definitely the favorites, but I could see them slipping up. Or, like, one weird draft where they get a little bit greedy for Zekka's champion pool and then, like, lose out on a strong jungle pick, for example.
G-Riz is nervous in his first game.
Yeah.
And then he stabilizes and it's 3 in a row. Yeah, I could see the 3-1.
Yeah.
I could actually... Yeah, there is, like, the angle that you can see for, like... I mean, if it's actually going to be playoffs barrel, right? Like, if we get playoffs barrel, so if we get some, like, a sprinkling of spring barrel, it's just, like, we are sprinting it.
If DRX win, like, it must be, like, what, a draft if and a Grizzly collapse?
Draft if, Grizzly, and maybe even, like, just a DRX
bot
continuing,
as,
like, to...
Well?
Because DRX's understanding of the meta has looked pretty good, even if their individual players aren't necessarily
as
good.
Yeah, and Hanwha Life's
kind of... Yeah, and they're kind of all over the place. Yeah,
Hanwha seem a little bit reliant on their mechanics.
And the AD carry guy.
I mean, Zekka looked a little bit out of sorts when his champion pool was targeted, but...
Oh, I don't know. Diari looked pretty good.
That was against Genji, so I think that's kind of...
Oh, right. In that series? Yeah.
I think there's, like, there's certainly... some weaknesses here, but I don't think that DRX is a team that can properly exploit them. Like,
no,
when I think about all the mid laners that are in this tournament, Fade is not the one I think about when I think about, like, this guy could maybe put some pressure on Zekka. Old Fate, like, when he was on Live Sandbox, when I think he was at his peak, like, maybe that Fate, if he returns, could do something. Maybe playoffs form for him is different. We haven't really seen a whole lot of that, so... Yeah,
we'll get to see that when he gets to Worlds.
Any Rascal playoff explosions?
I'm going to be honest. Rascal? I think Rascal didn't have a great season. Like,
no.
I feel like everyone's... not everyone, but not everyone at this table, but like I think the fan narrative and like overall narrative is like, oh, Rascal is just like the solo kill machine still. I'm like, yeah, but like look at the numbers. Not
it's
really
what
this
we
season.
We were saying about Keen for a couple of years there. Where we were just like, this guy is really good. We know he's really good. Like... He's
Where did he go?
In. He's got like a huge champion pool, and then he like falls flat a bunch of times. And we're like, oh, but this isn't Keen, and like, yeah, kind of struggling on a middle of the pack team. It's a very similar feel.
Like if you say Rascal versus Kingen, like everybody instantly their brain is like Rascal, but then you think about it, and you're like, not right now though.
It's also I think Kingen is outside of Keen the most stable of the top laners that we still have. I think Kingen it's really hard to find an opening against Kingen.
I think that he'll never take an opening, though.
No. Kingdom doesn't win you games outside of finals, apparently. so if they get there, then maybe. Yeah. But Kingdom to me is outside of again Keen. Like between Doran, obviously has a lot of openings. Zayas, with how T1 has been playing recently, has been playing like insanely psycho at very far forward. So I think Kingdom is just really hard to play against and try to like push through.
He's the new Doran. In a weird way. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think new weak side Doran. You know?
Doran's lows were much lower. Yeah. That's what I sort of feel.
Kingdom is just a very... He was great.
Stable.
Yeah, he's great with Zeka because Zeka is kind of the opposite. Where Zeka's peaks and valleys are like way more pronounced. Yeah. So I think they kind of balance each other.
And he's not an emotional player either.
Yeah. So, but we're collectively in agreement.
Yes.
That's Hanwha. So yeah. We're going to do we do a cross?
No, we can't do the cross just yet. We're going to... Oh, so you can maybe put the name underneath of who's going to win, and then we can work
out
who's
team,
going...
Right?
The score,
yeah, yeah.
The
do the cross. Do the cross. I think that's fine.
3-1. I'd say we all kind of agree.
Yeah.
And then we can do that. But
first we got to... That's the...
Woo! Spicy. One thing that... There's just an aside that I want to go into, which is really, really interesting. We meme often about DRX and the miracle run that they made, and we're like, if that sixth place team was to play again, like, are they going to be able to do it again? We don't know. Guess what? Every remaining player from that DRX roster is in playoffs in summer that is still in the region. Isn't that kind of, like, it's a bit ridiculous.
Yoshik is also still in playoffs.
Hey, there we go, but he's not in the LCK playoffs.
No, true.
So, like...
I just wanted to give him the shout out.
Yeah, yeah.
KT was thinking about playing him, but you know, I think that's against the rules.
KT almost put him in. They made the right call.
Oh no! Let's not get into that debate on the Pog State for this moment in time. Oh dear.
No, this next one is way more way less risk. Right?
Yeah.
T1 T plus.
So I think that this is like not even close, in my mind. But I'd like to hear from you guys. Yeah, that's the question.
You can make that statement and just not say anything.
I hope you get 3 zeros for both sides. I don't think that's possible, though. With the amount of volatility between these two teams and their current form, I feel like this happens pretty often between fourth and fifth place, although it didn't happen in spring where we were all pretty like, yeah, DK's going to take this. It's going to be easy. And then Hanwha Life just beat them. And
it was
like,
a 3-1, right? But yeah. Pretty Hanwha favorite.
So that's
DK kind of just fell apart.
I feel... exactly like this could happen again where like everyone's like, yeah, of course T plus is better, like T1's still recovering from Poby and then T1 just show up and it's like just absolutely smash T plus.
I think
T1's gonna 3-0. I think there's no chance for T plus
looked totally collapsed, like yeah. Everybody, especially Showmaker in their last series,
his Jace looked bad. Showmaker's Jace looking bad is like, that's the first time I've seen that.
But I was just going to say, like, back to the original, like, relation to the last one, where the last time it felt like, oh, okay, anything could happen, though. Like, we were all kind of like, yeah, D-plus should win this. But then we're like, but what if, like, Hanwha overperformed? Because last season, Hanwha had these random, really high highs. And I think, like, T1 is kind of like that in that this season they've had some really great games. Like, their series in first round robin against Gen.G, where... it was a very close series. It was really exciting. And T1 played, I think, at that series, like, probably some of their peak League of Legends. And then at the end, before Poby came in, Faker had hands problems. Team wasn't all on the same page. But I also agree with you. I'm surprised you guys all think T1 is going to win. My thing is, I think the biggest weakness of D-plus right now is that they don't snowball. They look like a headless chicken, like, running around. Like, they have no idea what to do next. Whereas T1 is, like, one of the most, when Faker's on the roster, one of the most decisive teams, even if they make mistakes. And I think that makes it a really bad matchup for D-plus because T1, the shot calling is crisp. The turns are fantastic. Sometimes you have lane problems, and sometimes like the team fighting gets a little bit iffy. Like someone gets out of position, but they won't happy feet. Like they will make calls. They will make decisive decisions. And D-plus have been a little bit split in that regard.
Who did D-plus did face Gen.G and Hanwha this week, right?
Not Gen.G and Hanwha. It was
Nongshim. Sorry, Nongshim. It was. So they but last week they faced Gen.G. Then they faced Nongshim.
Yeah.
Who they 2-0 didn't look great against, and then they faced Hanwha. I actually like.
They
I
looked
probably
boom
they
Hanwha,
do
though.
They did look really boom, but I also think that T1 faced off against Kwangdong. So when Fakers come back, they faced off against Kwangdong, and a sandbox.
Who just lost to a
challenger team. And like this last week have just looked really, really rough. So this one is really, really weird because it depends so much. Because I do think that Showmaker, even with how rough he looked, is going to be not as big of a liability. And I also think that Faker individually still is clearly dealing with his injury and just doesn't look... the Sandbox series, we saw that, right? Like, what do you want, like, him, owner, and carry out?
They lost to Live Sandbox as well. They lost the game.
Yeah.
If you remember.
Yeah.
Teddy just one-shotting.
They
Faker,
went, what, like 3 or 4 and 20 in KDA? Like, it was really, really rough. And I think that D plus look a little bit worse because they play against two teams that were better than them, and they have always not looked good at that.
They 2-0'd Homolife the round before. That's the thing. That it looks like they're on the downturn and T1 are looking
really
on the upturn.
Yeah.
On a good spot
Homolife, that was just after Grizzly debut, and then he had to face Canyon. So like, I think that was a little bit the timing not working out for Hanwha. Don't get me wrong, I don't trust D plus, right? Like, I don't trust D plus, but I don't trust either of these teams. I think that on both teams, we've had Kana and Deft have been great, and the rest of the team, depending on the game, look either from somewhere. I do hope they play Kellen because I think the Bible experiment.
Too.
If it was Bible the entire year, I actually could see this work, but it isn't, and he's just not LCK ready. Like, his laning is just too bad, and against Guman Carry, you can't afford that.
The thing is, like, his laning doesn't even look that much improved from last time, like last year.
No, he
subbed in, right?
No, I know, but I think that if you get a year in the LCK, it can look very different from just getting subbed in halfway through the split, right?
After especially with Gorilla behind you, right?
Yeah. Also, after getting pulled up from a Challengers team where you were almost undefeated. So I hope they play Kellen. But it's really funny because, so you have Kana and Deft are the only ones that are stable. And then on T1, you have Zeus and Guma, who are the only ones that are stable. So I think you can predict anything on this. I think you could predict a 3-0 for either team. And I could see a scenario in which it would happen. And I could predict, I think most likely it's just a 3-2 slugfest with all of us and all the fans going like, ah!
I think if D plus win the first game, it could be a long series. I think if D plus lose the first game, it's a 3-0. Because I think that, like, on top of the fact that you've got a D plus that have been struggling, their main opponent that they've struggled to win against is themselves. When their confidence is down, they just look completely hopeless.
I kind of think that's somewhat true for both of these teams. And, like, my initial reaction is, like, I want to say it's going to be a 3-2. Thinking about the history of these two teams and how close they played each other in the past and, like, the caliber of players on these rosters, it feels like, oh, yeah. Like, also, like, yeah, they both have some issues right now, so it should be 3-2. But I think the overwhelming issue that both teams has is, like, whoever wins game one wins 3-0. Like, it almost feels like it's going to be like that 100%. Well. Like, the first game is so important.
Because both of these teams are dealing with huge mental issues, right? Like, it's so obvious that without Faker, you know, T1 were worse than Headless Chickens, I feel. DK, I don't really know what's going on with them, but a lot of changes and even coaching changes, and it feels like it's hitting at exactly the wrong time, like right at the end of the season, right when you're losing confidence, losing to really good teams that you potentially should be competitive with, but you're not, and you're just getting crushed. So, you know, if DK come in, they've got Kellen, they win that first game, they're feeling good, maybe they can go on a streak, because maybe then, you know, Owner and Carrier kind of go off and kind of do whatever they've been doing for the last month as well. And then, you know, it doesn't matter who's in the mid lane at that point. I think they're going to kind of fall apart. So I am leaning T1 because I think that, you know, they're ramping up. They defeat Kwangdong, which was basically a freebie. But that was a great first match. And they go against Live Sandbox and they struggle a little bit. But maybe now they build up that confidence. And if we see anything like what we saw out of DK against Homolife Esports and even Nongshim, I don't think we're going to have a very competitive Dom one or D plus.
The more I think about it, the Kellen Bible issue is like you lose lane with Bible like 100%. That's a huge problem. And his shot calling hasn't been like up to what it's hyped.
And how are you supposed to know what it even means anyway, right? Like,
if you
don't hear the comms.
If you have Kellen coming back in where he's like a little bit off kilter because he's been in and out of the team, probably doesn't feel great. He's been like calming with the Challengers roster a little bit. Then like with Bible or without, T1 have the better shot calling. But with like clear, obvious shot calling hole and no Bible voice yelling, which could be good or bad. Who knows? It seems like the coaching staff thinks that maybe one day will be really good. Like, I feel like it goes T1 either way in these scenarios, specifically for like Guma carry strength in lane and then T1's decisive shot calling when Faker's here. Always have to add that caveat. So it's like, I want to say, based on everything we've just said, I'm like, yeah, just put the T1 3-0 down. But that, if you just see that without listening to everything you said, we've just said, everyone's going to be like,
some people
what?
Will.
Yeah. yeah.
But I feel like that's like the most like logical thing to write down, I almost feel.
Because
and that's crazy, but it's like logical.
No, I'm still leaning D plus, but it is to me very close. And I think the series just inherently extremely volatile. And I think that the one thing that is would make me favor T1 is that owner specifically against Canyon has actually been generally great, but outside of that, owner and carrier have just not been good this split at all, right?
I think Kerry has been. I think to say Kerry hasn't been good at all is a little bit dishonest. I think he has been very inconsistent. He has made some very. He's had some very peculiar games. Let's say
there was a couple of weeks there where he was really off, though.
Yeah,
like
yeah, that Alistair game comes to mind.
Was a little bit of a slump, and after that, he's kind of been getting to that inconsistent space where, like, sometimes he looks good, but other times it's like, ooh, we don't want to see that again. So,
I mean, the way that I think about it is that the whole thing is it's a trend comparison, right? The trend for T1 is that they're coming up from pretty low down, and I think the trend for D+ is coming down from relatively high up. But I think that the lines are at about here right now, and I think you've got T1 that have come up a little bit further and D+ that have sunk a little bit further. And my issue is coming into the series, do I have confidence that D+ are going to be able to make winning plays? And I just haven't seen D+ make winning plays outside of win lane, win game. And win lane, win game is like, it's too hard. Well, yeah, but that's what Canyon does, right? He wins the jungle, wins every lane,
wins the
game. Yeah. And I don't see that necessarily being a solid game plan that's going to be able to pick you up a best of five. And I think that like what we've seen from T1 makes them look hungrier to me.
If like Showmaker's current form was similar to Zekka's current form, where he's like trending upward, and you're like, oh man, this guy's like, it's good champion pool form. It seems like he's kind of figured out his niche here, and he's playing very confidently. That could be like, oh yeah, Showmaker could abuse Faker's lack of consistency right now. Return to play, hand still hurts. Still injured, according to their interviews, right? Like he's feels comfortable to play, but like he's not 100%. And then if Showmaker was the angle, I'm like, oh yeah, Canyon plus peak Showmaker versus recovering Faker, like absolutely, but I just feel like Showmaker hasn't inspired me in the last few weeks of play to make me believe he could do it.
Yeah.
So what do we do? 3-1? 3-2?
It's a 3-0.
3-1.
3-0, whichever way.
I feel like 3-0 is the most logical, but like it feels weird to write that. Like,
yeah.
Because
it could be either
really
team.
Close between these two teams.
And it also makes you feel like you could look stupid if it doesn't come out. But like I think like based on everything we've said, I mean,
if
the,
plus
based on what
going
the three of
win,
us have said,
yeah.
I mean, Chronicle has some different opinion. But like based on what the three of us have said, like I feel like it should be a 3-0. But
this is
I
a do democracy. Think
there is a 20% chance that D+ just comes out and does make us look stupid, right? Like,
and if
they
win game one,
they just
and
trash
him. Boom.
Yeah.
Probably D+ are going to 3-0.
But I also think that's the only way that D+ wins is if it looks like catastrophically one-sided, because that's the only way they get enough confidence to actually follow through with the series.
So, putting it in.
3-2.
It's okay for Mal to also say, like, by the way, I don't think this is necessarily what's going to happen.
But that's fine.
Because last time
we go majority vote. We did this last time as well.
Yeah, last time I thought T1 was going to pick KT and you guys disagreed and we put the other one up and then I ended up being right. So Chronicle could be the one who's right this time.
True. Yeah, it's... It's the majority goes. So, 3-0?
Yep. 3-0 X team is what we're going to go with. I also am going to predict that no matter who wins this series, they're immediately going to lose.
I think there is a bit of a tier list where KT and Genji are on tier 1 and Home Life Esports are on tier 2.
They're in their own.
And then DK is on tier 3. And T1's on tier 4 now, and DRX are on tier 5. That's how I would
play. So
I think tier 3 can be both DK and T1.
Not anymore.
No?
Not for me, no. I don't...
Wait, so T1... But T1's about to 3-0 the DK.
Yeah.
I actually...
I don't know, that's just the way the series is going to go. So,
that's the way Brendan's tier lists go.
Yeah. So
tier 4 is better than tier 3.
So let's talk about who KT will pick. You guys just think they pick T1 every time?
Yeah. Well... If they 3-0 and look really good, I think they still get chosen, though.
I agree.
Because if Humble Life Esports win, and they look good, I don't know. There's a lot that can go on, because there is such a huge mental game with DK versus T1, but then there's also the mental game of Grizzly is very, very new, and if Humble Life Esports are looking shaky at all against TRX, that might be a swift pickup where it's like, we can beat Humble Life Esports and T1 seem like an unknown entity, where like, if they're on the come up and they just 3-0 DK, and you know, we have our opinions, but like, what will the team think if they're like, oh, we played against DK and they were really strong, so, and T1 just crushed them, like, we can't pick T1. That's too scary. So we're going to pick Humble Life Esports. So,
well, also, of course, depends on the form.
I'm really lost and I have no idea.
It also depends on the form of Hanwha that we see against DRX. Like, if Hanwha struggle against DRX and T1 3-0, then like, maybe you're like, oh, okay, like, that's a little bit weird. But since we don't expect that, I wouldn't assume that. But
I think KT are always picking T1.
The one thing I'm scared about for Hanwha as KT is Zekka. Like, Zekka could outlane BDD. I feel like BDD's engages, his team fights, his like clutch moments are insane. But Zekka might just outlane him. And then Grizzly gets to play a little bit better around having that lane prio if Zekka gets the champs he wants. And that's what I'm scared about if I'm KT. So I'd say probably they're going to pick T1, because Faker isn't a strong laner right now based on his current condition. And BDD can get through that part. And I think Keen versus AS, you feel very happy. And the bot lane, you feel happy. Viper versus Aiming is kind of like a little bit more contentious potentially. So I think it's a pretty safe bet that KT picks on. T1.
I also think that if we look at like the last few years, they just always pick the lowest ranked team.
Yeah.
That's actually my whole reason. I'm like, I think they just like, okay, this team was the weakest going into playoffs. We pick them.
Yeah. And also like you think about KT haven't been challenged by T1 all season. Like,
yeah. Not
the
even
first Telecom War with, even with Faker, looked not even a little bit close.
No.
And even when T1 were the massive favorites in that Telecom War in the playoffs last time, T1 almost lost to KT.
And there is also something to be said that actually Hanwha has been the only team that has been able to challenge KT. Because don't forget, Gen.G got 2-0. Now, I do think that Gen.G is better, and I don't think they would get 3-0 if it was a best of five. But what we have seen is that KT was able to handily dispatch of Gen.G, obviously not in week two, but that was a series with a lot of caveats.
Static shift.
I shout out again, by the way, if you didn't see it, DRX, their tweet. check it out. It's amazing.
Aiming with the shaved head and the static shiv on his forehead. Oh, my God.
Which I guess is also an Avatar reference, maybe. I don't know. It was just great. But I think that KT specifically will just not pick Hanwha because Gen.G have also obliterated Hanwha most times. KT expects a win no matter what. So if you can have Gen.G deal with Hanwha, you pick a team that against any good team hasn't looked good in a very long time. I think it makes too much sense. And even if they do, if T1 do dunk on D+, which again, I could definitely see, I don't think it really changes the optics because of, I think,
yeah,
a lot of
I think
teams
like,
will rate
no
them
matter
well.
Which team it is out of T1 and D+, that's the team that's going to be chosen by KT, and then Gen.G will be up against Humble Life Esports or Barrel.
Because
it depends.
If DK wins, probably T1's going to look really weak. So then DK look less strong, maybe, in a sense.
I agree. Yeah.
Like, they should look really strong because they 3-0, but also maybe the teams are like, well, T1 didn't really show up, so we still think DK is really weak, and we'll just take them on, or vice versa.
Yeah,
T1
I mean, I just think of these three teams, like Hanwha is the scariest. And I mean, DRX is a meme, but like, you know,
keep your
put it in.
keep your life.
So DRX
alive.
Isn't the scariest until the World's Gauntlet.
Yeah, until the World's Gauntlet. Yeah.
Yeah,
not here in these playoffs.
Nope, not just yet.
So another Telecom War.
Yeah, another Telecom War in round two as well. Cool.
Yeah, but the Telecom War hasn't actually been good.
Lowercase.
It's still a Telecom War.
I don't know.
Esports, you lowercase the E. Come on, we've been through this.
Oh.
If you got to the S, then that would be uppercase, because you capitalized the S.
I don't know where we're all on the lowercase or uppercase esports debate. I just went there back to the.
I just think it's hilarious.
I just went back to like we don't have to. Do
I like
it.
E apostrophe sports. I think it looks.
What about E dash sports?
Also fine.
What about E semicolon sports?
That's the best one.
That's completely ridiculous.
No, that's cultured
sports.
Do you do E apostrophe male? No, you don't.
Yes,
no,
I do.
But E semicolon male all the time. Yeah. E comma male.
KTT1.
Three zip. Boom. Smack him down.
Yeah, I'm kind of.
I think it's going to look worse than the.
I don't even think we need to analyze
the Saturday
it.
Beatdown that we had.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I so, agree. I mean, like, I'll analyze it a little bit because, like I said before, I think BDD versus Faker, a good matchup for BDD right now. Like, I know historically it hasn't always been, but right now I'd say it feels pretty good. And then Keen versus AS Keen seeming more consistent, obviously. And then you have Cuz versus a weak owner at the moment. And then bottom lane, I think that's your strong point, honestly, weirdly enough, in this matchup for T1. But even then, I don't think it's enough. Like, if you just, like, kind of go from top to bottom on the map and look at it and think about it, you're like, nah, no, probably 3-0, right?
KT's so, top side of the map is just too strong.
Yeah, so we should...
I also think Lehen's preys on the mentally struggling teams.
Yes, he does.
He just... He, like,
he thrives
like,
off
like
it.
A dementor
yeah.
or something,
yeah,
right?
Basically, he's, he, like, he senses happy. Weakness, and then he goes to that lane and yeah. destroys them so that the turmoil within the team,
so,
like, eats them alive. Yeah.
Just as a how would T1 win? I just think it's fun to talk about, like, because just because of the deep plus home alive situation,
they steal a Baron.
Free like
three
five?
Games. Okay. They have to steal three Barons.
I think I have a more realistic.
It's the bot lane, right? If anything,
KT don't respect them and actually draft poorly or showboat. Like, I actually think that's the more realistic
they
answer.
They do have a tendency to do that.
Recently, they have been doing that a lot. So.
Is there, and I think I do want to bring this up. Is there a chance that KT go full KT and completely choke it? I don't think this is. Right?
No,
like, I don't think it's there.
They'd have to do that
maybe
in
finals against Genji.
But like looking
or in
at
finals, potentially.
So and then I'm mostly looking, and I'm not saying that they would look horrible, but just worse than they have. Like, for Lehen's, I'm not too worried, for obvious reasons, because he literally comes off of winning last year and looked great in finals as well. For BDD, I also wouldn't be worried. But then for aiming, Cuz and Keen, like, how are we feeling? I think it's important
aiming
to at least...
Aiming is the one to worry about.
I think Cuz as well, because we know that Cuz can look great until he looks...
Invisible.
Good. Yeah.
When
and
he's
like,
confident,
not even
he's
invisible,
fantastic.
Like, an actual liability. Like, he has... Even there have even been series.
I've been fully converted. I trust KT. I think they're the best team in the LCK at the moment. But I do think that it's important to at least go over some of the like outlier scenarios where we see a really big.
Yeah,
swap.
I think a collapse could happen at any point. It's KT.
I think it happened in the lower bracket finals for spring. Like, I actually think KT could have come back and won that series against Genji, and they had control of the game they lost.
They got
with the Ezreal
really hard, didn't they? Yeah.
And they absolutely could have beaten Genji and upset them, which would have at the time been like insane upset and like, oh my god, I can't believe KT is going to the finals. But they choked there and they messed up their win con and aiming got picked and it was like kind of a disaster. It's happened before, even very recently, but I don't think it's going to happen against T1. Like,
yeah,
T1 will choke
so.
First, unfortunately,
but
in this
if
case.
It goes,
and even if it's D+, like, D+, it's the same scenario.
Yeah.
But if it goes to a game 5 between T1 and KT, who do you think takes it?
KT, 100%.
Okay, yeah. I'm with you.
Like, present me with a game between these two teams, and I will predict KT to win.
Yeah, no, that's
I mean,
very reasonable.
Chronicle's like, what happens if KT's like 3,000 gold down at 12 minutes? Like, Atlas is like, KT still win.
Pretty much, my hair would be safe.
We've seen him do it.
The one series they lost was the Shiv series. They were 17-1. I think right now they're in a really good mental state. I don't think they're in a state to choke unless something goes wrong in winter finals, and then they like meet again in the finals, and then they're like, that would be the only time. I don't think this is ever the series where KT mentally choke.
So 3-0,
right?
I
give them enough credit. For
yeah.
No, I'm with you guys. I just
no. It's
like
good to have
this
conversation.
More interesting against Hanwha and Genji, though.
Yeah.
I was ready to go forward with zero conversation at all. So I think this was much better. All right. What,
maybe
have
just
got
draw
our cases
down
correct?
Arrow on them, like or something. I don't know.
Okay. So Genji, Hanwha Life Esports. This is a really cool one because I think this is a battle between my 3-0. Two MVP votes, which is a bit of a, a shout out to what we're going to talk about later, which is some of the All Pro votes that
your
we're going to have.
Grizzly, right?
Yeah.
Remember when
Grizzly second Faker? Yeah.
As a unit, overall, not 100%, but kind of collectively thought, oh, maybe Han will beat Shenji in week 9. And then some
Don't worry, Arnold. I am going to predict Genji will win. I am 100% going to do that.
But then, Genji did not lose to Hanwha, actually. In fact, Hanwha got obliterated by
that. Yeah. I want to make it perfectly clear that I, like, every time they play,
I think there's,
Genji.
I mean, I think there's
I learned my lesson.
We can have about why Genji will probably beat them and not just because they beat them recently. I think Chovy, like the Zekka angle where it's like, oh, Zekka beats a lot of the other smart mid laners who make really good team fight decisions. Like, Zekka's like strength in that he's a strong laner is great and all, but like he's actually second tier to Chovy in this regard. So like, that's not a strong point for you.
I think the jungle gap in this series might be bigger than any other series we see. Peanut is just so incredibly on point nowadays. And we already saw what he did in that series. Like, we have some really relevant data. And we were even talking about, you know, maybe Grizzly has some trouble in playoffs. I think come this time around, he already has that mental block of, oh, God, Peanut already gapped me. What am I going to do this time? And maybe he gets some confidence, but I think Peanut's going to come into this one and they're going to be happy to face off against Hama Life Esports. They're going to be really confident. I think Peanut's just going to crush him. I don't think it's going to be
close. I think he'll be okay against I think he'll be okay against Croco, but, you know.
No, I agree.
Well, it's going to be a different story.
Yeah, no, I even Yeah, I do. I did like the
DRX. I mean, when they lose to DRX, it's going to be, like, really awkward. Yeah. Yeah.
I love that you keep putting
D plus sends their regards.
Can Shinji beat DRX, though?
I mean, if DRX wins the first best of five, you best believe I'm riding that hype train.
No, I'm with Felt. So I think that Peanut, even though obviously KT really got the better of them, I think Peanut, when he gets to kind of run the game, is probably the number. Like, Kenyon wins games the hardest and like carries the hardest, but I think Genji looks the best when Peanut gets either ahead or a little bit of breathing room. And against Grizzly, I think he will. In like, I could see a 3-1, but I'd probably be predicting a 3-0. Even though I think Hanwha is a really good team, because I think that Hanwha match up well into KT. Don't think they'll win, but I think that match up well.
Exactly.
And I think that KT match up well into Genji, and then Genji match up well into Hanwha. Right? I think that Hanwha Life is not quite on the same tier as the other two, but I think they could like try and fight a little bit with KT. I think Genji stylistically just doesn't work for them because Hanwha just don't do enough, I think, to kind of keep Genji down. And then I think Genji's team fighting is still still exceptional. I think KT are just so good at the moment at snowballing.
I 100% agree.
So I think
I think
3-1. I think Hanwha's good. They might get a game.
And looking at the bottom lane as well, like, Hanwha do like to play through bottom lane quite a lot, but I think Paze and Delight have just looked so solid.
Delight
sort of like
especially.
A brick wall. Like, you can't go
Giga
through
Chad.
That. Yeah, Delight, that's another shout out to our all-pro votes. So we are going
3-1?
To put in three. Yeah, yeah, we can Andy that.
Yeah,
I think
we can
3-0.
You think
3-0? I think it's a 3-0, but like,
yeah,
it's fine to put one in. I mean, why not? I don't feel as strongly about this one as the other one, so.
Good.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think side selection plays any part in that particular series.
No, I don't think so either.
And so now we get the rematch, Hama Life Esports versus T1, in theory. That's a fun one. The classic can they do it again type angle.
So that kind of creates a pretty depressing bracket, right? Because what's going to happen is we're going to have KT's going to beat Genji, and then Hanwha Life's going to beat T1, and then Genji's going to stomp Hanwha Life again, and then
We get
then
the rematch.
Genji are going to crush KT in the finals, because KT, that's where they choose to.
That's oh god, I.
They wait until the last moment.
Every
timeline has been discovered.
Every single KT fan just like is like oh,
I
just woke up in cold sweats.
I think
Score's going to be there.
How well, like, I think if KT is not tested at all in this bracket, especially even by Genji the first time, like, if they crush Genji the first time, that almost makes me, like, feel like 100% they lose the second time.
They lose the finals, I think.
They actually have to be tested in some way. They're kind of like RNG in that way. Like, the tougher the bracket they go through to get to their international tournament, like, the better they do at said international tournament. If they're not tested in some way here, I am worried about them in the finals, but I do think that our path for the Gen G KT double game feels pretty realistic at this point in time.
I would be shocked if it's not a double KT Gen G, like upper bracket and grand final.
The season is just very tier listy again.
It is.
Like KT and Gen G on a very similar
like
tier.
Like T1, Gen G
last
time.
And there's a big drop off. And you get to Homolife Esports. Homolife Esports are great, but they're not KT or Gen G.
I'm hoping that they'll be really good best of fives, though, between Gen G and KT. I'm hoping that it's not going to be a repeat of the 2-0
we
saw.
I don't think it will be. I think that Gen G were really rough on that day, and I do think that they should match up better in best of five.
What's really interesting is we talked about like the mid laners here, like BDD. Maybe he could be abused by Zekka, but he won't be abused by Faker and his like lane weaknesses. For example, like Zekka could maybe actually punish BDD, and Zekka also has really good team fighting. But I feel like BDD actually kind of matches up well into Chovy because, yes, he may struggle against him in lane, but I feel like he's more decisive in team fight setups and like his angles are like smarter, so to speak. Like his like geometry understanding is like
Chovy
better
does
for
have
his
moments though.
He does. Like he had that crazy like Azir game where he like got the sweep Azir under the turret.
He had the Galio into literally
BDD. I would Tristana.
Yeah, really
good. Good.
But I think this season, like BDD has been more clutch.
Yeah.
So I feel like the Chovy, Chovy actually could prove like that we're wrong, and it would be like really sick see it. Like that's the exciting part of that winners matchup for me, especially the first time they meet up. Because otherwise, I feel like if that doesn't happen, like Aimin can match Paze, and Keen can match Doran, obviously, and then Peanut like has to do some really heavy lifting. But the team fights were the problem with Gen G in all of the losses they took against KT thus far.
And if Spring hadn't happened, I wouldn't have a lot of faith in Gen G to overperform. But now I'm like, I could see KT win. KT are, I think, obviously the front runner. As we did just hear that Homolife chose DRX, which is awesome because that means our bracket is good.
Confirms
so,
it.
Yep.
Okay.
Awesome.
Good to hear.
But given how well they played last time around, which was an overperformance, I think internationally, would I trust this Gen G? Probably still no. given what we've seen in recent years,
not against an LPL team.
They'll make semis. Like this is how spoiled
we are. That's
we're
the
like,
amount
yeah.
of not trusting.
They'll only
you.
Make
win finals.
Yeah. Ugh. So, but I do think that domestic overperformance I could see. What would really be a shocker to me though is if it's not KT or Gen G that wins. After last spring, where T1 was such a heavy favorite and Gen G ended up winning, I'm like, those two teams were always on one tier. The same is the case now. I think KT are the favorites.
What about the Viper Daejeon?
So that's actually
it's Daejeon.
So it's Daejeon.
It's Daejeon.
That's what I wanted to ask you guys. Are you with me that like, who do you think would win if it's not KT or Gen G? Because in my mind, it's like
it's
like
be Hanwha, right?
It's well, it's like KT 60%, Gen G 30%. Who's the 10%?
I'm over Hanwha. I'm actually on that.
I think if D plus actually win, so like if it's the D plus timeline,
I think they're actually scary. DRX fans.
Like, no. DRX has to be fourth seed, so they have to get through the World's Gauntlet.
Gotcha. Last time, remember when DRX got through the World's Gauntlet was when we basically just decided we weren't going to talk about them. We were like, we're not even going to discuss this. It's like either Live Sandbox or KT. Like we're like, let's not even waste anybody's
now
time. Like I'm like, we're doing the same thing. Yeah. Like, let's just not talk about DRX at all.
It's actually ruined like every conversation for like the next 3 years. Because remember the miracle. It's like
Barrel's going to win Worlds again. Like it's happening.
Analysts are just really bad at predicting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that is the best storyline and the most unlikely in like the history of the sport. So we should probably
I'm going to ask a really controversial question, and like no one has to answer individually. But do you guys think Gen G won Spring more, or did T1 lose and choke in Spring more? Like, did Gen G really like rise to the occasion or win really hard, or did T1 fall apart?
Because
I think that is
guy.
If you believe that they rise to the occasion, I think you can believe that they could beat KT in the finals. Like, I think if that's the side you take, because I also take that side. I think Paze had a really good series. Doran popped off. He like
Doran
absolutely,
was just absolutely
he was robbed
like
of
that
MVP.
Weekend,
to be honest,
that weekend finals, he was a
robbed.
God.
He was robbed of MVP, but you know.
We were livid about that.
Yeah. We should have seen Hooney, man.
Paze voter.
Yeah.
But
there were some Paze voters. Yeah.
There were a majority
some,
of Paze voters.
Some narrative voters, yeah.
Yeah.
But like
narrative Nance.
And honestly, Nancy's. we shouldn't pile on again, because after that happened, we piled on really hard.
It's okay.
So
I remember a very spirited discussion afterwards. It was like me and Aux against the four of, like, you guys and Hooney.
Everybody else.
It was a good discussion.
Yeah,
we
the entire Huayshik was,
No, anyway. That was a discussion about QMAX Brom the entire way back, because remember Carrier played.
Well, we have learned again
that was on the way there.
That
was on the way there.
That actually is the way, and it actually won a game like yesterday. So
yeah. That was how Bro beat Genji.
I think that, like, I think a lot of people actually think T1 just choked that finals. I think a lot of people believe that because we kind of unanimously predicted them to win and stuff like that. But I do think Genji actually overperformed, and maybe we see that again. That's the only way I feel like Genji win this, is if they actually play better than what they've shown. And I think if I had to, like, point at one player who I feel like he needs to rise up, it's weirdly enough Chovy, actually. I feel like his team fighting has to be as good as we know it can be. Because that's
the
one thing BD has over him.
He hasn't been the main character for a really long time.
Exactly. He's laning really well. Like, he's also not just, like, side laning and not coming to team fights. You know, it's not that problem, Chovy. It's just that when he does show up to the team fights, like, maybe 7 out of 10 times he can absolutely get it done, but it needs to be, like, 10 out of 10 times he can do it. Because BDD right now, in those critical moments, it's, like, 10 out of 10 times.
Yeah, BDD's clutch right now is kind of reminding me of 2021 Worlds BDD.
Yeah. Well, the first part of that series, anyways.
Yeah.
We did not talk about that one Syndra game.
I actually think that BDD was, like, at least on the Genji side, by far the best player in that entire tournament.
I think he was the best mid laner at the tournament.
I feel like a lot of people will not
give him credit for that because he choked at the end, but, like, nah, at his best, he was the best.
And the whole tournament as well. Like, man, he looked so good.
I can make arguments for why, like, T1, if they go full back and, you know, they get the narrative arc and they get the power up and Faker's injury is not a problem.
I don't think there's any way T1
I
don't really want to entertain it.
No, same
like,
for
I
D+.
Think that, like, I can talk about the conversation, like, between T1 and D+ with, like, oh yeah, I think T1 can win. I think from that point on, I just don't think that there's a way.
It's only Hanwha, right? Where we get, like, the meta really works out.
I was going to what Wolf was talking about, and I think it's really interesting having the discussion about mid laners, because the reason for me that Hanwha Life Esports feels so much easier to bet on, right? Like, so much easier to get behind, is because Zeka's performance has upped so much. I think, like, we talk about mid jungle all the time, but I think, like, mid laners being able to make those clutch plays that BDD can make, that is, I think, really, really important. And I think Zeka has stood up to that. I don't think we've seen as much of it, like Wolf is saying, from Chovy, which makes it, like, a little bit more difficult to have.
He,
like,
has done it, but, like, it's you don't expect it as much. Like,
he's just not on the upswing as much as, like, what we've seen. And it's because he was always up here, right? He was always up really, really high.
You know,
and
it's like
Chovy's amazing, but, like, Zeka's, like, continuing to, like, and we're like, oh god, world Zeka, like, brain explosion.
It's like if you put it in Mario Kart, like, terms with, like, max speed and acceleration, like, I feel like Chovy is, like almost all acceleration, like, no max speed. Like, his early game is laning phase, his early skirmish is, like, really good, but, like, late game team fights, he isn't as clutch. Sure. But, like, in the small, like, schism or the frame of, like, these three players only, mm-hmm. and I'm basically saying, like, it's, like, 0-1 or 2. Like,
where their strengths lie.
Yeah. And then BDD is, like, zero acceleration, all max speed, like, super clutch. His laning phase isn't, like, bad, but it's, like, I think of these three, the weakest. His skirmishes are pretty good, right? But, like, Zeka is, like, the all-rounder, actually. Like, his laning is really good, but it's, like, slightly worse than...
He's the dolphin bike.
He's slightly worse than Chovy at laning, but he's, like...
Such a specific reference.
I'm trying to make a really good
bike.
Point. Like, yeah. Come on. All right, so Zeka, I think, is, like, slightly worse at laning than Chovy, but and then slightly worse at laning than BDD, but he has, like, both. He's, like, the intersection of both of them, and that, like... He is making impact in team fights. Like, he actually is making those clutch plays. Like, maybe not as amazingly as BDD, but, like, consistently he's doing it, and he lanes well. So, like, he's the one that's kind of, like, tricky for me. I think if he shows up in a big way, I think he's going to be, like, you know, he could be the guy who's like, oh yeah, I'm MVP of the finals. We upset. Hanwha's taking a title. It's Dejan.
It's Dejan.
I think if Hanwha Live's bot lane can really get it together and Grizzly doesn't get overrun by Cuz, I could see that. For Gen G, though, I think Gen G are... I don't know. They're to me, they are by far the most consistent outside of KT, obviously, because KT is 17-1. But like their consistency is what makes them really scary. And I think that Gen G, when you look at the finals as well in spring, we had Doran with like the crazy pop-offs, right? But even outside of that, it was the tandem of Delight and Peanut actually working well.
Also
and Peanut,
Pace, who got, you know, yeah, MVP, that's why he got voted for MVP, is that enough people thought he was consistent over the four games to be the guy.
He is just MVP, like, right? and Paze is such a known quantity. It's actually kind of crazy that that you just never, like.
Except when he died to Henna that time.
Yeah, so, I mean, that happens.
Yeah, he wasn't born when Kogmo was released.
Well,
you
exactly.
Can't hold it against him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Kogmo is an ancient champion.
Artifact.
Yeah, he's a fossil. Yeah. He actually has a fossil skin. It does make some sense, you know, like. Actually, the hard counter to Paze is just to play Cho'Gath and Kog'Maw with the skeleton skins.
He didn't die, though, did he?
No, he didn't die. He just, like, tried to fight a Kog'Maw that was chasing him down, and he had to ult slash. Yeah,
he did, yeah.
He killed his laning phase.
No, the reason why I'm doing this is because at MSI, we had, like, the licorice solo killing bin, which never happened. This happened. Yeah, the whole broadcast was talking about an event that never happened. for weeks, I'm like...
Huh...
Yeah, it took like
maybe he did it in solo.
It also it just didn't happen.
Like
also,
three years ago,
the Mandela effect.
It took,
or whatever.
Yeah. It took like a week and a half as well for audiences to figure out. Someone was like, "Wait, I'm going back in these vaults." And anyway, I don't know why that came up, but for Gen G specifically, I think they need some of their players to really overperform the way that Doran did. And I don't even think it's because otherwise they can't match up to KT, but I think this Gen G roster needs to believe that they can actually do it. And I think outside of that, outside of like a surge like that, I also think that KT has not actually been tested that much this split, kind of echoing what was being said before. And if Gen G can do that in the grand final, then I could see an angle for them.
Actually,
that's the only angle,
though. I
can
definitely see an angle where Gen G wins again. I think it definitely can happen. I don't think it's out of the question at all. Like, they've already done it. They did it against T1. I think they can easily do it against KT again. KT is the unknown quantity. You know, will they be able to not choke, basically? Eyes on aiming for me.
I do.
For sure.
I kind of want to add a PSA just, like, right here. Because we've been sort of talking down to Gen G in this particular conversation right here. I think that this team could, in, like, almost any world, just win. They could easily just win. Like, I think that it's much closer, but, like, we have to have this conversation as if we've got, like, three separate tiers, right? Because KT just, like, broke all of their records this season.
Yeah.
Like, KT looked
and they just
incredibly consistent. And they just 2-0'd them in the regular season here. I think Gen G in best of five, domestically especially, has always been a dominant force.
Unreal.
Except, like, against T1. And yep. T1 looks... not very good at
Except
the moment.
That one time.
But also, like
I feel like T1.
It's not
T1's
actually,
always been Genji's kryptonite, though.
Yeah, but,
like that's
but not
been
over
the
last like year and a half. Last time was in like so Worlds Gauntlet 2021.
I'm just saying that, like, yeah, because but
yeah,
like,
yeah.
They are just very, very consistent domestically.
Yeah.
Like they've been winning and winning and winning and winning. Now that threat has dissipated, right?
I mean, I like the percentage. Right? I'm saying like. KT60, just with how going into playoffs, because we're gonna have a pop state for finals as well, right?
I just wanted to caveat, just to say that like it's not as far as we've been sort of alluding to, because we have to talk about it in the microclasm of these like three teams that we're having a conversation about.
Put the teams
so
yeah, just write it down.
I actually think it's like 50-40. I don't even think it's
fair.
Wow, where does the 10 go?
Yeah, I'm like, wait a minute, 50-40.
So are we actually?
Are we
actually going to hit the free one for Gen G? And then the one free where Gen G...
You mean for KT?
Yeah. So KT win upper, but then Gen G win. Oh,
yeah, no. 3-0 for KT like... and then 3-2 for Gen G.
Yeah.
That's what I want. That's like, that's the narrative. That's the narrative right there.
Why don't
there.
We just
KT win here?
So
though.
KT always win upper.
Oh, yeah. They always
3-1?
Win upper. Yep. 3-0.
No.
There's no way they
And then
3-2
KT.
I think it's a
3-1.
3-2 Gen G.
I'm a 3-1 on this one.
All right, 3-1. We can 3-1. That's fine.
A little bit of happy gaming from KT recently makes me think.
Yadim's fantastic drawing, by the way.
That is true. It is very beautiful. Thank you so much.
T1 Hanwha.
3-0 Hanwha.
3-0 Hanwha.
3-0 Hanwha.
Unfortunately. Sorry, T1. It's impossible to predict.
It's
like,
day jump.
We'll have a better idea after their first series.
Maybe, like, actually, that's not even day jump.
No, it's not. But it's going to be day jump. Viper has to go home.
Because obviously, if KT versus T1 is really close, then this would be look really silly. But right now, I think, yeah, I'm with you guys.
So Genji Hanwha.
And that is there anything more egregious than a 3-0?
No.
And actually, no, I don't think it's like that.
Well, I feel like this bracket is way less interesting than the last seasons. This time we're just like, yeah, it's pretty obvious.
But I'm trying to work out how we go catastrophically wrong. Because, like, remember last time we did this whole thing, and it was wrong from the beginning. And I'm wondering where... Yeah, so now they're going to win,
and
it's going to ruin everything.
Also, T1 picked KT, which you guys didn't expect, but I...
Yeah.
Look into your crystal ball, Wolf.
No, I mean, my crystal ball, like, literally says all of this right now.
Yeah. So we're just following it. I'm going... Oh, man, I just want
to
do 2-3. I
want to
do
2-3.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. I was like, why don't we... Because there's no reason to predict the series twice and just assume what's going to happen. Why don't we wait?
No, of course we're going to predict it so we can be wrong, and it's funny. We literally have Comic Sansless right in front of us.
Altomic Sans.
I know we might get clowned for this, but the value of this is to go, how do we perceive this? I actually would think we should predict KT winning in a 3-2 as opposed to Genji.
3-2 or 3-1.
For Genji?
For KT.
3-2 for KT.
Do I predict this is my brain or my waters?
I mean, basically you have to tell people that you expect that KT will choke, and that's why you think Genji will win the second time.
No, I mean, I think we can go 3-2. I'm down for 3-2.
Or Genji overperforms again.
Yeah,
I don't think it doesn't have to be
KT choking. We already know that Genji is good enough to win the title.
All right. Yeah.
It is kind of like predicting like the weather from inside of a cave to do this,
but
like...
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the point.
DRX 3-2.
3-2.
I think it could go 5, yeah. It's finals. Extra Genji
it's
fan energy.
Dejon.
It's Dejon.
It's Dejon.
Yeah.
Actually, I quite like the bracket. I think it's pretty accurate.
Yeah, we did it last time as well.
Scoot back so we can get like the full shot of it for like.
Take a screenshot.
Take
thumbnails.
A screenshot so you can lull at us.
So what are we gonna get flamed for? So
the DKT one.
DRX beat the Home Alive, obviously.
We're T1 biased.
We
don't believe in Barrel. We don't believe in Barrel, which is totally wrong.
Don't believe in Barrel. Obviously, Kenyon was going to Goomba Stomp three games in a row.
And KT are chokers, so they're obviously going to lose.
Yep. KT choke against D+. Yeah, KT, like, aiming doesn't actually connect to the game.
Yeah.
Cuz is like playing Viego, but he doesn't
use
resets.
And also, like,
resets.
We're betting against Homolife Esports when Viper's going to Dejon, and it's Dejon. We're
it's
idiots.
Dejon.
All right,
it's
so,
Dejon.
So Homolife win there. Then it's Homolife versus D+.
Oh, God.
And then we get the rematch, and Kenyon gets his revenge on the Grizzly. Shows him just how much larger a polar bear is in real life.
So will we get a tweet from Mr. Arnold or not?
Nah,
I think we're going to be okay. And he was
spicy,
very nice afterwards.
Very enjoyable.
Yeah.
I think
and we
just a little bit
like
of banter.
I'm saying this in the episode.
Banter.
This is exactly what he wanted, where we actually back up every prediction we make and have a conversation and a little bit of a, like, not an argument, but like somewhat of a debate on some other things. So this is...
Maybe we could have
Ryan
him on the next episode. He can evaluate us.
No, we should. That
and,
would be,
and say we're
okay,
cool.
I don't agree with evaluate us, but it could be fun.
I
want
him to give me a ranking
episode
out of 10.
We get Rapid Star and Arnold on.
Oh, that'd be dope.
For a KT Genji finals? Pop State episode?
Well, I think Rapid Star probably has more important things.
Well, I know, but he's the only guy I know at KT that speaks English, so...
Yeah, true.
Well, who else? I mean... Are you going to get, like, the guy who sits, like, in the lobby and, like, cheers on the players and he comes? Like, the higher-ups in KT are not quite as public figures as Arnold is.
No, but I just need them
we
to speak English.
We could always ask.
Yeah.
That's what we'll do. That will do it for this episode. Thank you so much for watching, and we will see you just prior to the final for another episode of The Pog State, and we'll see you there.